fighting for America.
This is not about discrimination. This is about protecting the religious liberty of every Hoosier, of every faith.
The number one hashtag on Twitter is Boycott Indiana.
Fighting for Idaho.
I've always had a problem with eminent domain in any shape or form to have government take away property, regardless of what the excuse.
Fighting for you.
Good morning, Kevin. I just appreciate you being here, and I am very thankful for you. You're just wonderful.
Boise's Mr. Right.
Well, you found a home here.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Our great friend Wayne Allen Root is with us, rootforamerica.com. His new bestseller, The Murder of the Middle Class. Mr. Root, good to have you back.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Not bad, not bad. Always ready to get some words of wisdom from you that tell it like it is. First of all, not a lot of people have been sticking up for the middle class. Let's talk a little bit about your new book, The Murder of the Middle Class, and basically how we can save ourselves.
Well, I mean, it's pretty clear what's happening, and the real problem isn't even Barack Obama. I hate to say that. I mean, he's the leader, the ringleader of all the problems, but the real problem is the media. In other words, Obama could have never pulled off anything he's pulled off, Kevin, if it wasn't for the media providing cover, the IRS scandal, Benghazi, you name it, Obamacare. Any Republican president would be gone now, impeached, thrown out of office, in jail. I don't know how many different things would have happened to him, but it wouldn't be possible to survive as a Republican president, let alone a white Republican president, with the economy in the shape it is, with jobs in the shape it is, with the lies this administration tells, with the executive orders that violate the Constitution, with black unemployment being double white unemployment. No white Republican could have survived. There would have been a million-man black march on Washington, D.C., demanding, with the exact same results Obama's produced, millions of blacks would have descended on Washington, D.C., and they would have said, this white Republican president is obviously, with these kind of results, a racist trying to destroy black America and make us all jobless and dependent on welfare. And with a black Democratic president, they're cheering him. It's the most incredible thing I've ever seen. It's the most incredible hypocrisy I've ever seen. It's the most incredible cover-up I've ever seen. And with the idea, Kevin, that the economy is good because, A, they keep showing every month there are lots of jobs, and, B, the stock market is flying to the roof. For those two reasons, they keep claiming the economy is good. Well, right in front of me, I've grabbed just a few statistics and articles from the last 2 weeks, just the last 2 weeks. Number one, the top firms on Wall Street that make predictions about GDP, gross domestic product, which basically means the economy. If it's doing well, the GDP is up. If it's not, it's not. They're predicting GDP in this first quarter will be around 1.2%. That's like put a gun to your head economy. That's like blow your brains out. That's how bad it is. That means you're not even growing. That's about dead even, no growth of any kind. And here's the really bad part that the media won't tell you. In the last two quarters where there was a little bit of growth, just a little bit, in both those quarters, the entire GDP growth was made up of higher health care bills and health insurance bills for you and me. That's how the middle class is being slaughtered. And they're calling that proof that there's a good economy. If you took higher health care spending out because of Obamacare, the fact that all of us are having our health insurance bills doubled and tripled, GDP would have been negative for both quarters. Now you take this 1.2% horrible number for quarter one that's predicted by the best firms who know what they're doing, and you would have a tragedy if you reported the real GDP minus the Obamacare disaster, which they're calling good news. How about this one? Here's another interesting economic report. In the history of America, no one's ever seen a period where gas prices were this low and there's no jump or bump in consumer spending. None. All we heard for two months was gas prices are so low, it's a giant windfall for the consumer. This is going to boost the economy. But now nobody's saying a word about the fact there is no boost. There was no bump in spending. Consumer spending is even or down, even though gas prices are supposedly so cheap. You know why, Kevin? Because no one's got any money left. Here's a great example. My health insurance went from $500 to $1,700. That's a $1,200 a month increase, and I'm saving like $30 a month on gas. Gee, what a great favor Obama's done for me. He's got nothing to do with gas prices, but assuming he did, and the media's giving him credit when he's got nothing to do with them, I'm saving $30 to $50 a month on gas while I'm losing $1,200 a month on health insurance. Somehow the numbers don't add up, but the media won't tell you the truth. And the last thing I'll say is manufacturing new orders are much more important than jobs. Collapsing, absolutely collapsing. There's no orders for anything to be produced in the United States of America. So the only good news that exists that's real is that 200,000 jobs each month are being created, and they're all part-time jobs cleaning toilet bowls and mowing lawns and flipping hamburgers. And the media won't tell you that either. These are the worst jobs in the history of America, and the media doesn't say a word. They make believe everything's doing great.
Wayne Allen Root with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. You can check out his website, rootforamerica.com. Wayne, is the media incompetent or complicit in this?
Listen, they're not incompetent. Boy, when a Republican does something wrong, there's thousands of media people showing up at the press conference to scream really tough questions at him. If a Republican doesn't do something wrong, if they just state their mind, like Rudy Giuliani saying, I don't think Obama loves America, the next hour there will be 80 wolves at the door of Scott Walker, presidential candidate, asking him if he agrees with the statement of Rudy Giuliani. But I didn't notice a single member of the media asking a single Democrat, or even Hillary Clinton, the presumptive Democratic nominee, a single question about any of Obama's horrible policies. I don't ask them if they agree that you can't mention Muslim and terrorist in the same sentence, which Obama obviously is the overriding principle of his entire administration. I don't hear anybody asking a single candidate like Hillary whether they agree with Obama's commentary in the L.A. Times 3 weeks ago, where he actually talked about terrorism and said terrorists have, and this is a quote, legitimate grievances. Folks, if Muslim radical terrorists have legitimate grievances, then someone should ask Democratic candidates if they believe Nazis had legitimate grievances. Same people. Their only goal in life to cause murder, mayhem, torture, destruction, slavery, and to murder every Jew on the planet. So what's the difference between a Nazi and a Muslim terrorist? Nothing. So if Muslim terrorists have legitimate grievances, ergo, that must mean Obama thinks Nazis have some legitimate grievances. I'd like to ask every candidate running on the Democratic Party for any office whether they agree with that sentiment. But the media, Kevin, is absent. They don't care about asking that question. They only care about asking Republicans questions. So therefore, they're not incompetent. They're brilliant. They know exactly what they're doing. The game is fixed, and they're only on one side, the Democratic side and Obama's side.
Then, Wayne, how are we ever going to have anybody other than a Democrat elected in 2016? I totally agree with you. Once again, you're on the right track here. The media allows Obama to be Obama.
Right, and you're asking a very tough question. I mean, my Murder of the Middle Class lays out a case for how Republicans can get elected all over this country, and it begins with finding great candidates. You have to find candidates who are tough and who know how to stand up to Democratic withering criticism. I'll just give you a quick thing here. I'm not endorsing anyone yet. I'm not endorsing a single person for president yet. But I certainly think, as an example, Scott Walker probably stands out to me as the single best candidate. I know one thing. You don't want a Bush. Jeb Bush stands for nothing. Jeb Bush is another mediocre, moderate Republican who stands for zero, just like the last losers, McCain, Romney, Bob Dole, Gerald Ford. They all stood for nothing. They weren't real conservatives. They all went down to defeat after the media and the Democratic Party convinced everybody that, you know, you've got to nominate them because they're moderate and reasonable, and they're the only ones with a chance to win. And I'll notice the only conservative that ran, Ronald Reagan, won in two landslides. So you don't need a moderate. You need a conservative who stands out. Now, Scott Walker, I would mention, and there's some great candidates. I like Rand Paul. I like Ted Cruz. I like Ben Carson. I like Scott Walker. But Scott Walker is the only one I know of who was a governor, so he could show a record of leadership, what he did for his state. And he turned a horrible economy into a great economy in Wisconsin. He turned, a $3 billion deficit into a $1 billion surplus overnight by simply cutting the government employee gravy train just a little bit, a tiny, tiny bit. And that turned a $3 billion deficit into a $1 billion surplus. He stood up to government employee unions all over the country, not just in Wisconsin. Never in my life have I seen a guy that was attacked by every union in the country, all the money and all the manpower from across America went against this guy three times in 4 years. Election number one, then a recall, election number two. Three times in 4 years, and he beat him every time, including districts where Romney lost to Obama by landslide, and Walker won those districts. So there's the one guy to me that's proven he could stand up to the withering attack and the money of unions and the power of unions and stick it right back in their face, and that's the kind of guy you need. So far, you know, I got to watch this guy for a year now and see how he responds, but so far, he's the kind of fighter you need. I'm a fighter. I'm a New York kid from the streets of New York who fought for his life going to high school, one of the most dangerous urban high schools in America, and I survived. And I survived by learning the most important lesson in the world. Never, ever, ever give in to a bully. Punch him in the face, knock his teeth out, kick him in the balls, knock him unconscious, break his nose, do whatever you have to do. And then, you know, you may be worried after you do that he's going to come after you. No. The number one thing that makes them come after you is when they think you're afraid of them. They're actually going to run away like little wussies if you stand up to them. Never give in to Iran. That's why I love Benjamin Netanyahu. Never give in to a bully. Never give in to Barack Obama. Never give in to the Democrat socialist cabal led by Obama and Hillary Clinton and Elizabeth Warren and people like that. Spit in their face, stand up straight, and punch them in the nose. It's the only chance you have to fight a bully.
Wayne Allen Root with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, rootforamerica.com, his new book, The Murder of the Middle Class, How to Save Yourself and Your Family from the Criminal Conspiracy of the Century. Wayne, with the power of the media, is it that most Americans, whether they're too tired from working, whether they're too tired from social media, they just want a break, don't have the time or the effort or the thought to look at things in a critical sense? In other words, critical thinking skills, that would be, I guess, the solution to what we're doing. Is that what you think?
I think they're too busy, and they're trying to survive. You wouldn't believe the letters that I get. See, I'm not your typical, you know, the guys you interview in the news, Kevin, the guys that you have on your show, they're politicians or they're in think tanks. You know, they're big conservative think tank guys. What does George Will know about the real world? I may like his politics. I may agree with his columns. But what does he know about the real world? What does Charles Krautheimer know about the real world? I'm the only guy out there who, A, I'm a small businessman, okay? I don't make a living off writing my columns. I don't make a living off writing my political books. I make a living off running businesses. So I know what's really going on in the economy. And I have many, many, many not rich, stuffy Washington, D.C. friends, but middle-class friends. And second of all, because I give speeches about business around the world, and I don't give them, you know, like to fancy corporations. I'm not hired by Xerox or Exxon. You know, I give speeches at success conferences where the audience is small business people and independent contractors looking for a way to learn some tips that will make them more money. And a lot, and I give out my email and I give out my business card, and I get emails from the people in the audience who love my speech and tell me it's the greatest speech they ever heard. Great, a wonderful compliment. But then the second sentence is always the same. I came to the conference because I'm a middle-class guy. I did well my entire life. I always make $75,000, $100,000, $125,000 a year. I guess you'd call that successful middle class. And I got laid off last month, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And I've got five members of my family, and we have enough money to pay the bills for another 3 months. I don't know what I'm going to do in month number four. People are scared and desperate out there. The government is lying and the media is lying. There are people in so much trouble out there, and these are people with college degrees who are educated and who always had good jobs their whole lives. And unless you work for government where you get a job for life, the entire private sector is scared to death, or they've already been fired and they have no idea how to replace their job. If you make $100,000 a year or more, there are no new jobs. If you ever lose your job, you better go work for the Gap. You better become a waiter or a waitress or a bartender, or you better clean bedpans as a home health care worker for minimum wage, because those are the only jobs created in the entire 6 years of Barack Obama. So, you know, you got to be scared. If you lose your $200,000 a year job, there's no replacement ever again. That's what's going on in the real economy. I feel it. I see it. I hear it every day. And Charles Krautheimer doesn't have a clue. And George Will doesn't have a clue. And Republican politicians don't have a clue. Obama is destroying the middle class.
Wayne Allen Root with us. Kevin Miller in the morning. 580 KIDO. Time for traffic now. Good morning, Dave.
Your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Staying up all night.
580 KIDO, Wayne Allen Root with us as we continue on. Wayne, let's talk a little bit about Barack Obama. We've talked about the middle class. We've taken a look at the media. You've researched this man. You've known this man. You have a history with this man. And yet, our friends in the media do not pick up on this. If you and, let's say, George Bush were as close as you were to Barack Obama or had questions about George Bush as you do about the president, you'd be the belle of the ball. Heck, you'd be Wayne Allen Root on MSNBC, CNN, and possibly ABC.
Tell me that again. I'm sorry. I missed that question. I'm sorry, Kevin.
580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, Wayne Allen Root with us as we continue on. You know, Wayne, we've talked a little bit about the media. We've talked about President Obama. Let's delve into your history with President Obama. If, in fact, you were the, you know, president, you know, substitute Obama for Bush, you'd be all over the place because you know the real deal about this guy.
Yeah, I know the real deal, and the regular media doesn't care. You know, my biggest problem is that millions and millions of conservatives know my name, Wayne Allen Root. They go to my website, rootforamerica.com. They've read my books, Murder of the Middle Class and The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. But I'm preaching to the choir. The only people that ever get to hear me are Fox News fans and conservative talk radio fans like your station. I don't get on mainstream media. It's unbelievable. There's a total, complete media blackout. As a matter of fact, what I've been through in my political life and my political commentary, my political pundit career, is very similar to what George Bush, the former president, just had happen to him. He was at the Selma March, and the New York Times left him out of the photo. He was standing right in the front, and they whited him out of the photo, or I, you know, whatever word they use, they erased him from the photo like he wasn't really there. And that's what they do to every conservative critic in this country who isn't exactly like them. So they'll allow an occasional Charles Krauthammer, an occasional George Will, you know, guys who are kind of mainstream moderate Republicans with all kinds of Washington, D.C. credentials and friends. They're kind of in the same, you know, clique as the Democrats are, even though they come from the right. They don't hit below the belt, you know, like I do. And I don't mean in a negative way below the belt, like I'm doing something wrong. I mean Democrats hit us below the belt every single day of the week. They find whatever line out of context they can, and they call us non-patriotic, and they call us radicals and rebels, and they call us extreme, and they say that we're like terrorists, and the media doesn't say a single word, and then a guy like me answers back the same way. I hit Obama as viciously as you could hit him, because that's what he deserves. He's ruining America, and he's a terrorist in the White House, and I get labeled a bad person and kept off mainstream media, because I merely hit back with the same thing they hit us with. It's amazing. Let me give you another great example. I've spent the last 6 years questioning Obama's background. I've never, by the way, talked about his birth certificate. I just keep questioning his, you know, his being raised with nothing but communists. I question his, how he got into Columbia University and became my classmate. And for that alone, for just asking questions, I've been labeled a nutcake, a fruitcake, a birther. I never discussed his birth. But meanwhile, the second that Scott Walker indicates he's interested in being president, the New York Times runs a story about his college years and asking why he dropped out of college. Well, maybe the New York Times should have run one single story in all these years asking, you know, how Barack Obama got into Columbia University. Is it possible he got in as a foreign exchange student from Indonesia? Because I have a lot of friends who went to Columbia with me, and every one of them believes I'm right. That's how he got into Columbia. There was no, he had lousy grades from a lousy college, Occidental, that doesn't even compare to Columbia, and it's almost impossible to transfer into Columbia University. You know, you cannot transfer in unless you're number one in your class at Harvard. And somehow Barack Obama transferred into Columbia University with lousy grades from Occidental, and a lot of people agree with me that he took the fast track by portraying himself as an Indonesian foreign student at Columbia, wanted a student from some faraway country so they could claim they have diversity and brag to everybody, and that's how he got in. Well, if that's the case, A, he committed fraud, and B, he's not qualified to be president of the United States. He himself would have claimed he wasn't an American citizen in his college years. So it's kind of interesting. It's a very interesting, educated guess on my part, and for the reward for doing that is the media won't even allow me to speak. But yet, the minute that Scott Walker becomes president, they want to question his background, and nobody calls them birthers. No one has a name for him. It, once again, it's the media complex. Big media, big corporations, all sticking together to protect their own and going after anybody who dares to question their narrative.
Wayne Allen Root with us, rootforamerica.com, The Murder of the Middle Class. What else is in your book, Wayne?
Well, I'll tell you what's in my repertoire, not just in my book. You can go read Murder of the Middle Class, and you'll see what's happening, what's really happening to America and the middle class, and what I believe is what's behind it, which is the plan that Obama learned and I learned at Columbia University. That's where it all started. That's what my book is about. It all started at Columbia, where Obama learned a system called Cloward Piven. The only place you heard that for the last 6 years is from Wayne Root or from Glenn Beck. That's it. The only two places. And the media ran Glenn Beck off of Fox News because of it. Cloward Piven was what I sat and learned in classrooms at Columbia. And it was two professors from Columbia named, I think it was Francis Cloward and Richard Piven, if I'm not mistaken. But it was a husband and wife team named Cloward and Piven. And they said, you can't destroy America and start over again and turn us into a socialist nation, kill capitalism. You can't do that by saying, I want to kill capitalism and I'm a communist. So you have to elect somebody who very slowly does the opposite of everything he says. First of all, slowly, so you don't scare people, and that's what Obama's done. Six gradual years of turning us into a socialist or communist nation. You know, boil the frog slowly till it doesn't even realize it's dead. By the time it realizes what's happening, it's dead. So that's number one, do it slowly and gradually. Number two, follow Saul Alinsky. Always say the opposite of what you're doing. And so you say, Obama says, he's the fan of the middle class. I love the middle class. I'm protecting the middle class. I'm the guy who's going to protect you, and he's the guy that's come to kill you, number two. And number three, overwhelm the system. When people won't realize it, but gradually get everybody on welfare, everybody on food stamps, open the borders, let in millions of new people, and let them all qualify for Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security and welfare and food stamps and aid to dependent children and free schooling and free health care. And how about this one? Back earned income tax credits. You weren't even here, but you qualify. The minute you get amnesty, you qualify for 3 years of back earned income tax credits, which could average $7,000-$8,000 a year, which means the government's going to hand $24,000 to $30,000 to illegal immigrants who don't even have a right to be in the country in the first place. $30,000, they're not handing a dime to you. A working class, middle class American, you got nothing, and they're going to hand a one lump sum payment, $20,000 to $30,000, to every one of the illegals Obama gives amnesty to, and they're going to give them driver's license cards and Social Security cards. So no state in the country, not one of our 50 states, has the ability to determine if you have a driver's license or a Social Security card. They can't tell the difference between whether you're legal or illegal, so they will let you vote instantly. So you add 5 to 10 million new Democratic voters to the polls who will vote for the guy that gave them amnesty named Barack Obama and his Democratic Party. This is how you implode America and destroy the system and take over and destroy capitalism forever and make this a socialist nation. And I saw the plan laid out at Columbia, and that's exactly what Barack Obama is doing right now to destroy the United States of America. That's what's in Murder of the Middle Class. But what's in my mind right now is when the media says, Kevin, that Rudy Giuliani was wrong, that Obama loves America, you can't question it, you have no right to question it. Here's the answer every Republican should have given. They're all so dumb. It's unbelievable to me. They're so dense. The answer is, sure, he loves America. I can't argue with that. He says he loves America. I guess you have to take him at his word. And Fidel Castro loved Cuba. And the head of Venezuela loved Venezuela. And the head of Greece loved Greece. And Stalin loved Russia. And Hitler loved Germany. Every single country that's ever been destroyed by a sociopath and an egomaniac and a psychological liar and a communist tyrant, every one of those tyrants, Ceausescu loved Romania, and they all destroyed their country. So it doesn't matter if they love their country in their own sick way while they're destroying your life. Did Fidel Castro love Cuba? He's still alive. He may die any day now, but he's still alive. Go ask him. I'll bet he tells you he's the greatest patriot that ever lived. He loves Cuba more than anyone in the world. But he destroyed the lives of every person in his country. There is no middle class. Everybody lives in abject poverty and drives 1958 Oldsmobiles and donkey carts with a horse or a donkey in front in the year 2015. Why do they have nothing? Why are they penniless? Why don't they have shoes on their feet? Because they had a communist tyrant who loved their country at the leadership role. That's what we have with Barack Obama. So who cares if Obama loves America? He loves it while he's destroying it.
Wayne Allen Root, Root for America. We appreciate it, sir.
Thank you. The book is Murder of the Middle Class, the website Root for America, and that's what I do. And, Kevin, I know it's what you do, and I know it's what every one of your listeners in Idaho does. Root for America every single second of every single day. Let's pray for this country. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, sir.
And back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, men, men, men, men, men, men,
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Time for the Manly Man segment. Okay. Okay, we can pot it down now. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
And you wanted to talk about bikes this morning?
Yeah, the new bike program announced
fired
yesterday.
Up about this.
Sure.
Yeah.
This is great. I think, in fact, something you'll probably take advantage of here.
Go ahead.
What?
Tell us about it.
You're not going to take advantage of it?
Well, you have to tell us about it first.
Oh, well, I thought people knew about it. Yeah, the city, they're launching.
I didn't see
a new...
it. I watched all the news last night and really saw no reference to it, so you have me scooped on it.
Well, no, I don't think maybe you watched all the news. Channel 7 had a big report. Dave Foch was on there showing how the city now has got a federal grant investing in bicycles. Some will remember those who have been around a while, the Yellow Bike program they did for a while. They took all these old bicycles, painted them yellow, and it's a free program. Feel free to use one. Just leave it where where you're done with it. The yellow painted, the really ugly yellow, by the way. Just leave it where you had it, and then suddenly all the bikes kind of disappeared. And then I think they found them all, and they put them in the old armory building. And so that was the end of that program.
Yeah, I got to admit, I watched all the news last night. Maybe I must have fast forwarded it because it didn't catch my attention. I'm trying to think. They were talking about the Indiana law. We were talking about the gas tax going up. I'm trying to think because it was such a. They talked about the weather.
Maybe because it was about bikes, and so you just kind of blanked it out.
That might have been because I'm sitting here trying to think about this. They interviewed somebody about the new men's urology clinic.
You don't remember the bikes? I mean, because this is great. High tech, they got solar power on them. So that
solar
way.
Solar power bikes?
The solar power is so that way it's got a GPS system. So. It always knows where it's at. You can get an app and download it so you know where the closest bike is. They got some sort of a locking thing, and this time they say it'll work because this time you pay for it.
Well, I thought it was free.
No, it's you become a member of the bike club. And then I guess once you become a member, then you get the combinations to them.
Wait a minute, the bike club?
Well, I'm just calling it that. That's what I'm calling it.
The bike club.
I can't believe you didn't see this. This was fantastic. When I saw it on TV, I thought, oh, Kevin's going to want to take part in this. Because I figured, that way you'll pick one up here at the station, ride it downtown to City Hall for all your meetings with the mayor. And it'll be really good. And so you get a locking. And now here's the deal. And it's a bargain at only... Well, it's $15 a month, but better if you pay by the year, which is $70.
Right. $70 a year?
Yeah. To which, I don't know if you know this, you can go down to Walmart and buy a bike for $70.
Can you?
Sure.
Huh.
You can buy one of those old, the old school cruiser bikes with the J-Lo seats on them.
Right.
And for like $70-$80. But yeah, so, but these, you can hit an app and go, oh, look. There's a bike just two blocks over. They got solar power, and I can't imagine anyone vandalizing those.
Right.
That could be great. So they're ready to launch it, and they think this time it'll be a big success. I just can't believe. You'll probably be blogging about it later today.
Yes, apparently, because if it's worth anything, I'm blogging about it.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I shake my head in that, and there's, I know in market, and probably right now you're getting emails from some of the regulars that, they're going, look at Dave mocking this program before it starts.
Right.
But it's just, I saw what happened with the Yellow Bike program, and now they got these high-tech expensive bikes, and they're charging for it. And there's some in the North End that are going to love it, some others, who are bicycle nuts. But if you're a bicycle fan of bicycles, don't you already have your own bike?
I would say.
I mean, so you're going to charge me $70 a year, or you already have a bike?
How many people actually, will do that? I mean, like
pay
you
the
said,
money?
Yeah, I mean, you have your own bike.
I mean, other than you, I can't imagine anyone paying
that. The militant bikers, I won't be riding a bike.
And that's the thing. The militant bikers, God bless them, they have a bike already. So why would you pay $70 a year or $15 a month
for
a bike? It makes no sense to me. It would be like me, I'll rent the public car. Why? I've already got one.
I don't know. You feel very passionately about the bikes, though, at 5:45 in the morning here.
Well, I'm just trying to put some excitement, some enthusiasm in it. What do you got?
Well, I if you go to 580kido.com, you can take a look at our blog on the House passing gas. No surprise here. The State House has decided to raise the gas tax, and we break it down how it's actually not a tax cut when they get rid of the grocery sales tax. It's a tax cut if you make a lot of money, but if you're in the middle class, you're going to pay more. Actually, the lower class is going to pay more as well. And so desperate are the politicians, led by the majority leader and the Speaker of the House, to get some money on the roads that they've decided to do the old Houdini. And I call it, parlor tricks from the State House of Representatives. It moves on to the Senate. We'll see if it gets through the Senate and signed by the governor. But you're not going to get that big sales tax that they thought about for the gas, where they wanted to raise it to 7 cents, then 8 cents. Once they do that, the gas tax in the state of Idaho will be 32 cents a gallon once they raise it to 7 cents per gallon. But that's going to impact a lot of people. And I love the, Majority Leader Moyle yesterday saying this is for business and we're going to bring in new business to Idaho and it's going to be great, wonderful, exciting. I'm going, how can you justify lowering the tax rate on the people that make in excess of $300,000 or $400,000 a year in the state of Idaho? That's going to help the small business person. That's going to help people that are landscapers and gardeners and weed whackers and tree folks, salespeople.
I saw this story on this, but they didn't really explain very well, and I haven't had a chance to really look at it. How does it lower the tax for the wealthy?
It drops their percent from, I think, 7 to 6 or 6 to 5.
On their income tax?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Huh. But it would get rid of the grocery tax.
It will. And here's the other thing that, and I don't know if you saw the Sunday paper. I don't get the Sunday paper, but apparently LeBlanc or Treasure Valley Racing has put in a ton of full-page ads. Thank you, Idaho legislature, for, eliminating jobs, getting very emotional. We'll see what the governor mm-hmm. does about it. But, if this were so necessary, why didn't they do it last year? Oh, that's right. Senator Fulcher, now former Senator Fulcher, who was running for governor, he proposed it, and it got tabled in committee. Why? Because no one wanted to give Russ Fulcher some ammo for his primary challenge against the governor. And that was a clean bill. It was just get rid of the grocery sales tax because the state makes enough in revenue. We don't need it, allegedly. And if the roads were so bad, why didn't they do it last year? Well, you know why, Dave. It was an election year. Hey, we're not going to try and raise taxes during an election year.
Well, I know they talked around about raising the, your title, your registration fees. They talked around about a number of ways, but nothing ever came of it. And they've talked about that, and that'll probably happen too sooner or later.
Well, and going to this article, you can check it out. According to the Idaho Center for Fiscal Policy, people in the middle 20%, incomes ranging from 38.9 to 61 would lose the most and see an annual overall increase in taxes of an average of $192. People at the top 1% earners with an annual income of $427,400 or more would gain the most, seeing a tax cut of just under $5,000.
But see, what you're not figuring in on this is for people like you, once you're paying your $15 a month for your bike, you'll be riding your bike around more, and you will not be paying as much in gas tax.
But I worry
be saving more.
I worry about people like you that want to go camping, hunting, and fishing, or at least fishing, and you're going to have to, pay more to gas up. I mean, in reality, I just don't think that it, other folks say, hey, getting rid of the grocery sales tax is a good thing. It's going to help poor families. Okay, then do a clean bill. But please, I don't know why the upper income earners need a break. Do you?
I've never lived there at that address, so I don't know. If I lived there, maybe I'd think I need a break. I've never lived at that address.
If you're making over $400,000, what's $5,000 to you? Now, $5,000 to you and me? That's significant, but you're doing that. What's $5,000? Can you afford to pay? Gosh, I sound like a lib. Pay your fair share, rich people.
Yeah, look at you. I'm just sitting back watching you out there on this limb.
I just don't think that it's worthwhile to increase the gas tax. And quite frankly, when gas gets back up to $4 a gallon or whatever.
Or $4.07 now.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Mm. They had to do this now. And please don't tell us that it's for our own good. This is great.
So, we'll see. And then they'll yell at Maverick and Stinker and Jackson's going, look at you, you're gouging us. But, you can't even post how much tax on the pump. It's against the law.
Well, it's like I said, it's pretty bad when I'm quoting the spokesman review in this story.
You don't like the spokesman
review? They have a slant.
Hmm.
So.
I'm just saying, you're not calculating and you riding a bike around. And, oh, by the way, those bikes too.
Oh, boy.
That little GPS thing, it calculates your carbon credits, you know, how much carbon you're saving, and it calculates how much gas you're saving. It's fantastic.
You know what I'd really like to see from the city, and I'm sure a lot of people would, the efforts made for bicycles and bicycle lanes, with all due respect to those militant folks, to save Gowan Field. Now, they've got this website, Gowan Strong. They had a pep rally. I love how the new thing is, urge your call the senators and congressmen. Really? As if they need any more inspiration to save Gowan Field, that's going to make a difference?
I think they know.
Yeah, I think they do. It's just kind of funny that, what do you do? It's a move, and look, it's better than nothing. It's a move by the city to get ahead of the issue, and to the city's credit, at least they're doing something as opposed to everybody else. I'd like to see the Treasure Valley Cooperative, all get together. And that would include Mountain Home as well, and it would include Caldwell, and it would include the entire valley, not just Dave Beter's Boise.
Kevin, your traffic now, I can't tell you this.
That's it?
That's it. It's time to go. It's late. We're running late.
I like that. It's time to go.
It is time for me to go. Traffic now. We're looking good.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIPO, Idaho's first radio station.
5:58, Kevin Miller in the morning. So we'll talk about the House passing gas coming up. That's right. We're going to get rid of the grocery sales tax. It's going to be great if you make a lot of money. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're going to get a tax break. The middle class, you're going to get a tax increase, plus the latest on Indiana and what it means for us here in Idaho. And we'll have the latest from our friends at Fox News. We've got a lot going on here, but really, this is an issue that goes past any and all constituents when we're taking a look at money. Are you willing to pay more? Is this a good deal? We'll talk about that coming up. Let's get you to work. 5:59, Kevin Miller in the morning. Indiana continues to be under fire. Mike Pence will be on Fox and Friends coming up. We'll hope to scam that interview and share it with you. But really, when we talk about religious liberty, is there room for that in your America? All that before 9 a.m. Thank you all for joining us. We're just getting started. Good morning.